All right. Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us once again. He is always with us no matter where we're at in this this crazy world that we're living in. God is guiding, directing us, and we're just enjoying the show as we continue to move forward, helping people every single week understand exactly what's going on. You can go below this video at andweknow.com/gold. You can have the same conversation I'm having with Dr. Kirk Elliott with anyone on his team that will be willing to take over all of your questions that you might have, especially with precious metals. Man, it is crazy out there. What's going on with you, Dr. Elliott?
So many things, LT. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, to me, if we encapsulate everything that's going on into one thing, how is the enemy trying to win this battle, right? It's like, to win any battle, you have to break the will of the people, right? And I think that's I don't care if it's a military conflict or anything. It's like, you look at what they're doing. So first, let's look like COVID, right? It's okay, that's how quickly the world would just buckle under the pressure of fear of getting sick from the flu, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to die from this thing. It's like, okay, I'll stay at home. All right, I'll wear a mask. Okay, I'll shut down my store, my restaurant. I'll get the vaccine in numerous ones, and I'll get boosters. I just don't want to die. It's like, it's the flu, right? But yet that's what was permeated. You break the will of the people. And then now we're seeing more messages of how's another way to break the will of the people outside of your health and the safety of your family is wars and rumors of wars, right? Because there's all this uncertainty about what's going to happen. Is China going to invade Taiwan? And what's that going to mean? Is the United States going to support Taiwan? I don't know. You know, probably not under this administration, because they don't want to be bad to the big bad China, because you know, then they're going to put tariffs on things and it's going to be nasty. And well, what about Russia and Ukraine? What about Israel? Are we going to support Israel? Right. It's like people just they come to believe that because of the talking points, because of the messaging, that the world is falling apart, and forget even for a brief second that God's in control of all of this. Right. But under that state of fear, under that emotional state, people will give up their freedoms, and that's exactly what they want. And the other way, you know, third way that they can actually break the will of the people is separate them from their money, right? Which is what we've been talking about a lot with central bank digital currency and how those ideological differences can, with your digital social profile, can cut you off. But there's more to it than just CBDC, right? That's the ultimate end game of what they want to bring in. But how do you get to that point? How do you get people to say yes to something that's so awful, right? So, so just this week, the FDIC came out with a list of now 63 banks that are on the verge of financial collapse and ruin.
Yep. I saw that.
Yep. So now the article itself, it was a memorandum. It was a research paper. It didn't use the words financial collapse and ruin, but that's what I take it to be when you understand what the number means. So, you know, you look through this report and it said there's 63 financial institutions that went into reverse repurchase agreements with the Fed. So what's a reverse repurchase agreement? That's when you get an injection of cash. You know, from the bank's point of view, the reverse repo would be an injection of capital and cash into the bank. In exchange for that, you're giving the Fed U.S. treasuries, right, with basically saying you're going to buy them back later. So you need this, like, loan. That's what a reverse repo is. Why do they need a loan? Because they're running out of capital, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that there's 63 that entered into reverse repo agreements in a week tells me that there's some major problems brewing right underneath the surface. Now, another report that came out was through a big hedge fund, their research department, over 280 financially stressed banks because of the massive amounts of delinquencies and the unrealized losses from commercial real estate, right? So this is brutal. So there was a report from the FDIC that shows massive losses in the first quarter. So I was looking at that, and I'm just going to paraphrase it just briefly, because I think that this is not good moving forward.
Right.
So here's the quote: unrealized losses on available for sale and held to maturity securities soared by $39 billion to $517 billion in the first quarter alone. So in the first quarter, $517 billion of unrealized losses. What was that driven by? Higher unrealized losses on residential mortgage-backed securities, a result of rising mortgage rates in the first quarter. So this marks the ninth consecutive quarter of unusually high unrealized losses since the Federal Reserve started hiking interest rates since the first quarter of 2022. So put that all into perspective. Residential real estate starts losing after commercial real estate starts losing, right? And why is that? Because commercial real estate would be Main Street America. It's your mom and pops, your restaurants, your offices, your services. And if they can't afford to pay the bills, they start jumping ship. Right? It's like, well, we can't afford this building. And then they're not going to be able to hire people. So when they don't hire people, people's wages comes down. And now you've got the residential real estate that hits the skids. So it's always commercial right. that first, residential second. So what we're seeing now by this available for sale, held to maturity securities and residential mortgage means that they're getting closer to the end of massive real estate collapses, because commercial real estate's already collapsing, right? This is why banks have so many delinquencies. It's why they're going into default. It's why the government has to keep printing money, LT, to fund, basically buy these things out, to fund them so you don't have banking failures. So you look at that, and it's like, well, boy, what does come next? Because it seems like they're running out of ammunition. First, they had the bank temp funding program, which after Silicon Valley was injection of capital into the banking system so these banks wouldn't go into FDIC receivership. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they want that? Well, because they knew that FDIC is underfunded, right? At the time, they only had 1.7 something percent of all deposits covered. Now they have 0.72, right? And now we're seeing that there's even more capital losses, $39 billion. And there's losses in commercial and residential real estate. And so if it goes to FDIC, they're toast. So now what? There's no bank temp funding program, but they issued reverse repurchase agreements, right? Which have to be paid back. It's like using your treasuries as collateral with the promise to buy them back later. It's just a Band-Aid. So I'm looking at all of this again. Break the will of the people. Right.
Right.
Bring in some financial fear, other kind of fears like war and rumors of wars and health. And then it gets even more sinister and vile because of, Fauci might be one of the most evil people that's lived. I mean, he's a bad dude. Yep. So listen to what he says in this, where he's talking about COVID. And how would you get people to actually accept COVID and what they wanted to do, which was travel restrictions, shelter in place, numerous vaccines that nobody really knew if they were tested for safety or not, and then boosters that were even worse, shutting down your businesses, right? What about going to college, right? What are kids going to do there? Well, Fauci answers that in this audio clip, and it's really disturbing.
Yep.
You think can be done about it. I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us, you get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological. and they get vaccinated.
Thank you. Are all objections to COVID?
How about that?
So make it so difficult for people that they'll comply. I mean, that's basically what he said. You want to go to college? You better comply. You want a job at Facebook or whatever else? You better comply. You want to travel? You better comply. Right? So it's like, make it difficult and people will comply. I see the same thing in the banking sector, yep. Right? In the financial sector. It's like, and we've talked about this, LT. It's like when this beast monetary system comes into effect, and you and I have both read the Bible a bunch of times, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, even up until, I don't know, a couple years ago, I think as you start reading about the Antichrist, it's like, how in the world did people actually think that this guy was okay for a bit, right? I mean, mm-hmm. How in the world could that be? And why would they take the mark of the beast? I mean, they knew the ramifications, right? Well, mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of people don't, but they're going to, again, like what Fauci just said, this is the break the will of the people concept, make it really difficult for people to say no to the FedNow app, to central bank digital currency. Because imagine a world where they say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Retiree that's on Social Security or needs Medicare or Medicaid, if you want your benefits, you better take the app. You better take this FedNow app. Well, it's like, oh, my word. But I heard Dr. Kirk and LT say that this might be the mark of the beast. But what am I supposed to do? I have to live. I have to eat. I have to pay my rent. Right? They're going to make it really hard to say no.
Right.
But my encouragement is say no, because God's bigger than all of that. Right? So,
right.
So, but this is their rationale. Fauci just said it with a straight face and was almost, he's proud about it.
Yeah.
You could tell by the tone of his voice. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. We'll just make it hard on people and they'll accept.
Yep. Yeah. It seems like whenever I watch these, I always let the folks know, because we showed this a few days ago, and it just always sense that they're keeping this in the forefront for us to see and remember what he's done. But we know they're not just going to take him out and, you know, have him arrested right there on the spot, which is what they should do. That's the basically, if you look at the law of the land, he should just be escorted straight to prison. But he's kind of smirks while they're doing these. And every now and then you might have somebody who actually holds him accountable, but it, you know, they walk out, they just, you know, it's just another day for them. It's like, he doesn't care. I think he feels like he's protected, almost as if we look at the spiritual warfare side. I just look at it like, well, Satan's got my back. Everything's okay. Doesn't matter how much these guys go after me. I'll be able to go home tonight and sleep well.
I mean, it's an evil smirk. It's either just this pride and arrogance where they think I'm just going to get by, or they know that somebody's going to cover for them. Mm-hmm. Because this is bigger than any one person, right?
Yep.
But you know, it's just kind of that same theme moving forward. What they're bringing to the table is so bad that there's no way that people would ever accept it, and they know it. But you know, it's just this Hegelian dialectic. You create something that's so bad mm-hmm. that people will want what you have as the solution, even though they might not have wanted it 5-6 months ago, right? So.
Right.
So here's where you take it one step further. And this has all been pretty recent comments about food, right? So the mayor of New York, crazy guy, you know, he gets behind the mic about 3 weeks ago and says, you know what? Methane from cows is the most dangerous thing to global warming outside of manufacturing and cars. It's like, what? So therefore, you know, get rid of cows is what he's trying to say. So what is Bill Gates doing? Bill Gates is funding science to remove the methane from cows' stomachs and intestines, right? So modifying the DNA and genetics of a cow, which that's probably what makes cows able to chew on grass and eat grass that we can't do.
Right. Right.
And so imagine this genetically modified cow that doesn't create methane anymore. What's that going to do to the meat? Why would we want to eat that toxic garbage, right? After they've been injected with all kinds of secret sauce that we don't know what it is. But so get rid of cows, get rid of methane because it's hard, bad for global warming. But we've heard Harari and others talk about you're going to eat bugs and you like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have, then they have already have bug sprinkle stuff like salt that you would put on things for nutrient, protein nutrients. It's like, what? This is nasty. Right. So then how else can you get to the point of creating fear and getting people to want to change the banking system? Get rid of meat. Right. So, and okay, this is where if you make meat scarce, if you get rid of the supply, the price is going to go through the roof. Right. And so if you're getting rid of a bunch of cows, or you listen to the stupid Congress people that are saying, I think it would be a great idea to have PCR tests on every cow in America once a week. It's like, what? You're swiping their nose for COVID? What are you doing? Mm. Right. So if you make meat so expensive because you get rid of the supply, people are going to, by nature, say, our family can't afford to eat meat. Right. What's left? Right. Maybe we can eat bugs. I don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So check out these videos. These are, the first one you have on the screen is one of the largest chicken farms or hatcheries. I don't know what you would call it in America. It's in southern Illinois. 1 million chickens and eggs were destroyed in this fire. I mean, it's a big fire. Mm-hmm. Right? As you're looking at it, 1 million, right? So then there's a second one where that fire is even worse. So this one's in Texas, literally LT within 5 days of each other. They're destroying the food supply. How coincidental is it that two of the largest chicken farms or whatever you'd call them in America both get burned to the ground within 5 days of each other?
Right.
It's weird to think that that's not planned. I mean, how does that just happen? Right. Mm-hmm. So, and let alone to two of the biggest ones in America, because in this one, 2 million chickens were destroyed and killed. The week before in Europe, that scientists found some kind of a weird disease in chickens in Europe, and they don't know what it is, but it's causing chickens to lay eggs without a shell. Okay, that's weird.
Yeah,
what is it? It's just like egg sauce. I mean, what is it? So anyways, we got to kill all these chickens because it's got some weird disease. We don't want it to spread. And then I think it was on Thursday, I was reading an article that avian flu was now found in wastewater in San Francisco. Now, all the people in San Francisco are going haywire over it. It's like, what, bird flu? Oh, we got to do something about it, right? Oh, how about masks? That's a good idea. How about a vaccine for bird flu? Oh, that's a good idea. And people in San Francisco are going to fall for that garbage, right? So, so here's where, and now they're killing cows in Texas because bird flu is going from the birds to the cows and being transferred to humans, which nobody's ever heard of that happening before. So again, fear, 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 break the will of the people. And here's where I don't like to make predictions because I'm not a prophet. I don't really make predictions. However, this stuff is just so easy to see right through. It's like, I think there's a pandemic coming again, right around election time. How would a convenient time for it, for all this stuff to manifest? And it's like, LT, if you actually can make the price of meat go so high that people don't want it, because they can't afford it. They might want it, but they can't afford it. Well, then you don't even have to outlaw it. People just can't afford to buy it.
Right.
So here's where they're looking like the good guy. It's like, we're going to help everybody. Boy, there's all these sick chickens and we want to protect the whole world. But everything that they do is causing the price of these things to go up. So it becomes beyond the realm of affordability. And what's weird is, you look at that and people vote with their wallets. See, this is the catch 22 is people vote with their wallets. Clinton told us that, right? It's the economy, stupid, right? So Right. People can't afford to live. Interest rates are going through the roof. Inflationary pressures are persisting. Are people going to vote for the clowns in office? Well, no. They'd want to vote for somebody who can bring change, like President Trump, who's already done a good job in the past. It's proven. Oh, but how can you vote for somebody that's in jail? Or maybe there's going to be so much civil unrest. Maybe we just should stop the election completely for a while because we got to keep people safe, right? There's a pandemic and, you know, so I mean, I'm just kind of playing out how this fear spreads to irrational thoughts that politicians start to play out. But everything that we're seeing right in front of us right now spells pandemic and spells economic disaster, because our country, LT, cannot afford another pandemic. People already used all of their savings during the first one,
right,
just to survive.
That's right.
And now you get a second one, it's going to be even worse. So as we look at that stuff, what responds very well to these kind of conditions that we're living in? Gold and silver do. I mean, look what silver has done. It got up to 32, came down and tested the $30 threshold. Because remember, what we were talking, when silver was at 22 and would hit 30 and come down, it would hit 30 again and come down. It was this very strong ceiling to the price movement. Well, then it blew past it one day, like way past it. And then it got up to 32 point something, right? $2.50 over 30. Well, then it came down, corrected. It tested 30 during the week, down to like 29.80 something, and it bounced right back up again. So that old ceiling becomes the new floor. And this is where we as investors, we get to take advantage of this mayhem and this chaos and allocate into something that's strong and that's safe, where you have a floor. Because here's what we always have to remember. Things never go to zero, LT. Never. When was the last time your groceries are free, or the gas in your car was free, or a house that you wanted to buy was free? Things have value.
That's right.
Companies can go out of business. If they go bankrupt, your stock goes to zero. Right? Municipalities can default on loan payments, so bonds can go to zero. But things never go to zero. Now, there's a good time to buy things and a bad time to buy things. Right now, with everything that we're seeing globally, the mayhem, the chaos, you know, when Trump was being, you know, in court, whatever, and he says, okay, he's a criminal, is what they said. Well, what happened on that day? Biden decided, hey, Ukraine, go ahead and use our really large format missiles on Russia, on Russian territory, right? And so now Ukraine's using U.S. weapons to fight the war against Russia. And Putin's got to be thinking, what in the world? Did we just go to war against America? They're fueling our enemy. Conflict, chaos. While at the same time, Turkey, the largest Muslim country in the Middle East, right, is saying, hey, BRICS nations, we want to be a member of BRICS. And Putin's sitting there just salivating, saying, this is a great idea. Let's bring them in. Right. Well, Turkey is a part of NATO. Now, what's that going to do to the global geopolitical landscape? Right. It's like,
right,
this is entering into really chaotic, weird times, LT. And we just have to take a breath. Right. We have to realize God has all of this. None of this is a surprise to him. Politicians are going to do what they do. The globalists are going to want to get their way. The enemy wants to wreak havoc in our hearts and minds and take our focus away from Jesus. And we can't let that happen. We have to have faith. We have to look to Jesus as our source for everything. And he gives us wisdom and discernment and knowledge and understanding of the times we're living in to navigate through it. And financially, that's why I keep shouting from the rooftops about gold and silver, because they make sense. They're not digital. They're not paper. They're not easily manipulated like that. There's something that's about them that kings and kingdoms have fought after for thousands of years.
Right.
It's because it has value, and it always has, and literally it always will.
That's right. Yeah, that was interesting, because today's verse of the day that I had pop up on my phone, I get them daily, came from Psalms 4:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone. So even then, thousands of years ago, whenever this was penned by probably David or someone that penned a psalm there, they were always telling us to relax no matter what was going on in the earth in that day and just depend on the Lord. And part of what we've shared over and over again is it's biblical to see gold and silver throughout Scripture as the main thing that actually is being used by kings, by those countries throughout time. And now we're seeing it play out around the earth. As I go through several social media areas, it seems like a mainstay. So many countries are buying into gold and silver and they're stocking up. And even these billionaires are jumping in there. And it seems like everybody's noticing a trend where banks seem to be closing and precious metals are being bought up like crazy around this earth. And so it's a great time to definitely reach out to you at andweknow.com/gold. Guys, we give you that. We know that we've been joined together, Dr. Kirk Elliott and I, so that we can get this to you so you can understand what you can do with this fiat money, this cash that's going to be, that seemingly seems to be going down the tubes day after day. And so don't live in fear. Stay in the word and also understand that you can do something with that cash that you've saved up.
Amen. I mean, it's an easy phone call. Go to andweknow.com/gold. Call us at 720-605-3900. Just say LT sent you. But here's what we're going to do so people have proper expectations, right? We're going to hear your dreams, hear your concerns, hear your fears, listen to you, and help map out a strategy for success using precious metals to get you out of the path of that hurricane, right? And and ultimately, that ongoing communication that we'll have with you, because look, the transactions are the necessary evil, LT, in the sense of you have to buy to get into a trend, you have to sell to get out of one. They're necessary, but to me, it's not the focus. As crazy as that sounds, because I'm in the business, to me, the focus is on the relationship in between, because we could help you be in the right place at the right time. But if you don't have peace about it, it's going to affect your health. It's going to affect your sleep. It's going to affect your relationships. And we want to take a more holistic approach to it, knowing that I have to answer to Jesus on Judgment Day for my thoughts, for my motives, for my actions, for my words, for everything that I do. Right. And so when I'm advising people on their assets, I look at that with more of a eternity in mind rather than the now, because it's important to me. It's important to families. It's important to their future generations. So we look at it more as a partnership in the sense of we'll help you and guide you and steer you, but the final decision's always yours. You pull the trigger. We'll help you aim the gun, but just know that I don't view it as my money because it's not. I don't even view it as the client's money because it's not. It's God's money. Amen. And we're called to be wise stewards with it, right? And so that is our goal, to partner with you, to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. With you, I'm well pleased. Because LT, guaranteed, if there's anything else that we hear on Judgment Day, we're not going to be ready for it. We're not going to like it, because that's the only thing that we should hear on that day.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close out then. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Dr. Kirk Elliott, what you've done through his life and just ministering to so many people throughout this earth. Thank you for guiding and directing us to this day, to this time, where we can rejoice in knowing that there are ways out there that you've provided for us biblically through so many avenues of reaching out and making sure that we understand how wonderful it is to have peace and through this storm, by being so connected to you. Please protect his team. Protect all that they're doing, as the enemy cannot stand what Dr. Elliott's doing. We see it day in and day out. And we know that you understand and guide all of our thoughts and guide their thoughts also in providing direction for so many lives throughout this earth. Thank you once again for his team. Thank you for all that you do through him. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother, so much. We're looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. You have a good one.